Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Gimel, and we're holding at the Gemara on Yud Beit Amud Beit. So what we spoke about yesterday is, man, I don't see anything so bad about reviewing the Mishnah. Why don't we review the Mishnah quickly? Where we said, Avru Elo V'lo Na'anu, Beidin Gozrim, another Shalosh Ta'aniot Al HaTzibur, which are also Kal, and over there, they're not as kal as the original three, but as we'll see, they're kal. The only chumrah that they have is that they include the night, so you can only eat and drink mi'ba'od yom, and your asur melocha and rechitz and sicha ne'ilas ha'sandal, tashbish ha'mita no'alim ata merchatzaot. This sounds about as bad as you can get, right? But it's not. Because if these passed v'lo nanu, then we've got the final seven, and those are more chomer, which means we have altogether 13 taniot al atzibur, besides the three of the yechidim, and besides the additional taniot of yechidim that goes all the way through Nisan, and these are even more chomer. In what sense? Hareelu yeterot al rishonot, shebeelu matriin v'noalim et achanuyot. You have to lock up all the shopping centers except the grocery stores on Yom Sheni. Towards the evening, you leave the doors open a bit. Yom Chamishi, the grocery stores are open. We'll see how open because of Kvod Shabbos. And if even after the full 13 ta'aniyot of these three different levels of chumrah are over, v'lo na'anu, so then everybody, we're not gozer nu on the tzibur, but b'matim, b'masim, b'matan, b'binyan, b'netiyah. So they act basically the way you act during the 9 days. And then the individuals, they keep being chozer, the special individuals, chozer, misami achetz in Nisan, yotz in Nisan, and then yardu gishami, that's already simin klola, Shmuel had pointed out. That's what we learned yesterday. So, therefore, the Gemara today wants to go through these various different isurin. So how exactly do the makes sense to say that you're not allowed to work? I mean, I understand the others are some type of tsar, but not to work. I mean, not to work doesn't sound like such a terrible thing. I mean, so it would be more appropriate to work. No, Zabishla Makulu Itbutanuk. I understand that they have issues that you have pleasure from. Fine. So it makes sense to say Rechitza, Sicha, Tashvishamita, but Malocha, why would Malocha be Osir? Tsarhu. Omer Rav Chista, Omer Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba, the din of Malacha is because this is a din in an actual moed. Omer Akro, Kachu Tzom Kir'u Atzara, Isfu Zekeni. We already spoke about yesterday the way that the Rif understands that before we even get to this, that the Pasuk, the Pashas of the Pasuk is that it's giving a Tainis a din of a special halacha in Zman. Therefore, it requires kriya in the same way that we have a moed. It's kriya, but here it's even more because at the end of the pasuk also implies more than just that. It says isfu zikenim, and it called it actually an atzeret. So the idea over there kiru atzara means that it's the same as the days that the Torah refers to as atzeret, the shmini atzeret. We talk about atzeret yalachem, we call shvuas atzeret. But an atzeret is osur basiyat milacha. And that means that a ta'anit is osur basiyat milacha in the same way that we're viewing the ta'anit as a special din in zman. What zman? A special din in zman that's even osur b'malacha. But wait, if it's osur b'malacha, then shouldn't it begin at night? Because we're comparing it to the atzeret, right? So if that's the case, ima atzeret mi'urta, then why do we not say that the halacha is that when you're not allowed to do work, you're not allowed to do work even from the night before? So the question is, mashma, that apparently there is no iser malacha from the night before. Rashi wants to say that you see from here that there's no iser malacha, and that therefore the minhag, the question of the minhag of malacha on Tisha B'Av is not at night. But he says, Don't spread this around. You're not allowed to teach people this halacha, which means that the Yisr Malacha, or in Tisha B'Av, the equivalent would be the Minig Malacha, would be from the night before. Now, by the way, that itself is a question, no? I mean, if we're giving the Ta'aniyot, which are only similar to Tisha B'Av L'chora, don't we usually think about it as, look, the most chomor Ta'anit is Tisha B'Av. Like, that's the given Ta'anit Sibur. And yet, strangely enough, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we do not have the Isra Malacha that we do have here. Isn't that an anomaly? So here again, I was quoting to you the insights of Rabbi Yoshe Ber about the Inyanim of Tainis. In that same shir, he was masbir that besides the difference in the types of Tainis and why it's special in Eretz Yisrael, which he wanted to be Mechadish, as remember I mentioned to you, that there's a din of Hester Ponim, and that is what the Avelis is for. That's only Shayach. That level of Avelis is only Shayach and Hester Ponim in Eretz Yisrael, because in Chutzorot there's always a Hester Ponim. Okay, but this issue is very beautifully explained by him. And that is that the din of Tisha B'Av is not a din like the other Ta'aniyot of Za'aka, which is an amazing point to realize. The main focus in these Ta'aniyot, where we're talking about over here particularly, in the Posik, it says, Kir'u Atzara, that this is a time for Isfu Zekenim, bring everybody together. And as we'll see, there's a special thing that you do, that you go through all of the issues in the community, and all of the Rabbonim get together to discuss the things that have been going on, and whether business dealings have been honest, or whether people are upset about various things, and they deal with all of those issues. And then we're going to see that a quarter of the day is used for Za'akot. There's 24 brochas in the normal, in the Amidah instead of the normal Shmoneh Esrei. And there's a special time in which you blow the shofarot or the chatzotzrot, and you cry out, which is Lemaisa, the din that the Rambam brings about the essential ta'anit as being responsive to the tsar that's going on. Which means that when the Rambam brings the special halachas of those ta'aniyot that were on the churban, which he says that those are to enable us to realize that this is an ongoing problem that has been over millennia, that we haven't been dealing with the issues on a primal level that affected our forefathers in the same way that it affected us, and we're not able to deal with anything that isn't local. That's a totally different focus. And there is no din, in fact, on Tisha B'Av of the Za'akot. Therefore, the meaning of this particular pasuk, which relates the Isra of Malacha to the Isfu Zekenim, doesn't apply to Tisha B'Av. Amazing. So in other words, even though Tisha B'Av has greater chomers in terms of the dinim of Avelas, it has fewer chomers in terms of the dinim of Asifa Zekenim. This is an unbelievable thing, because we're starting to get now a deeper sense of the variations of the meaning that are involved in Taniyot. So one aspect of the meaning is facing up to things. Another aspect of the meaning is to actually experience the mourning of what has happened to us. Another aspect of the meaning is to be able to be mispalal and to be masriya, that things should change. Those are not necessarily all involved in all of the taniyot. And so the idea of the atzeret aspect is specifically these last seven ta'aniyot of the tzibur, which are the most chomer of all of the dinim of the ta'aniyot that we have, despite the fact that they are not completely the same as Tisha B'Av in terms of the aspects of Avelis. Nonetheless, the dinim of Avelis apply, and they have additionally the concept of the atzara, which is a real Isra Malacha, where on Tisha B'Av it's only a minag. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, if they have a din of Atzara, because of the similarity to Atzeret, obviously the Rabbanan, because we're talking about over here what is essentially a Takana de Rabbanan, but it's an Esmachta in the Ritva sense, that the Esmachta is a remez to what it is that the Torah expects of you in understanding that you're going to have to take on at the time that it's necessary on yourselves. then why indeed would it not be an Isser Melacha from the night before, when we know that it's not? Omer Rabbi Zera, Ledidim Mefarshe Limine de Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, it's because of the way that the Torah compares it to Atzeret. Because in the Pasuk that says Atzerah, Kiru Atzerah, it says Isflu Zekenim, which means that we're comparing the din of Atzeret to the Zman of the Asifat Zekenim. Dumyad Asifat Zekenim, just like Asifat Zekenim is particularly Biyom, because that is when Zekenim actually come out and are participating. We don't expect Zekenim to be there late at night, to be staying up at night. Avtsomnami Biyom. So therefore, the Kiru Atzerah aspect, the working of the Tzom, is only in the daytime. So that's the point. So even though the Isra of Achila Vashtia begins immediately, the Pasuk over here was not talking about the real point of the Tzom. So when it says Kachu Tzom, it clearly does not mean the concept of not eating particularly. And therefore, as the Rishonim explain, eat mamish on the spot, that the word tzom is not necessarily not to eat. The concept of tzom means a getting together for everybody to experience pain. That's what it means. So since the Pasuk doesn't talk about tzom, the dinim of tzom are not compared to isfu zekenim. So we see clearly how it is that the separate Isurim address separate issues on the Taniyot. So what began at the beginning of the Masechta, just a general sense, is becoming more and more clarified as the Halacha becomes more and more defined, which of course is always the derech of the Gemara, to begin with a more infantile, everything is basically the same. And then as Halacha develops, it also allows you to start pinpointing the various realities in your psychology and in the way that you're supposed to be experiencing the thing in accordance with the halacha becomes more and more defined. It's such a beautiful process. And it's similar, by the way, to the way that we develop even in terms of our experience of the world as we develop in our understanding of what goes into that experience. And that's something that, unfortunately, it took a very long time to discover, as people used to think that the only level of human experience has to be an almost infantile level of experience, such that the scientists were berated for destroying and taking apart the rainbow and so on. Like, now you can experience. Obviously, it's much deeper the other way around. And this is exactly what the Gemara does all the time for thousands of years before these idiots managed to wake up to become at least the age of 10. So it's always amazing to me to see the incredible, incredible power of Torah and how much more advanced it was and is than anything that is going on in the world. Anyway, why don't we say that if that's the case, that it should be from the afternoon? Because that's the time that we have the real, I mean, I would think that that's the time that we have the real Atzerah, no? Where everybody comes together, the Zekenim come together. Isn't that in the afternoon? Omer of Shisha Barei Dervidi, that's the whole point. You see from here that Rav Huna is right. Misayel or the Rav Huna, because Rav Huna always said the din of people getting together to deal with issues, it starts in the morning right away. It's not something that's done like a town hall meeting where you don't expect people to show up at 6 o'clock in the morning for a town hall meeting. But when it's coming to the din of the Tainus, that's exactly what we do expect. So hechi avi. So how is this done? What's basically the seder of the day? Om Rabbaye, we do like this. From the early morning until chatzot, ma'ainin b'milei demata. What we do is we gather everybody together and we go over all of the business deals. We go over people's payment of taxes. We look at their bank accounts. Have you been cheating? Have you been taking rebate? Does anybody have any tainas on you? If there's been a psak bezdin against you, have you paid it up? Are there any nedorim that you made to tzedakah that you didn't pay? And so on and so forth. And all of the issues that people have between one another that have to do with monetary issues are handled once and for all. We force you to pay. And then the rest of the day, what do we do? So then after that, mikan ve'elach, we split the remainder of the half day into two parts. So that means that during the Riva Diyuma, the quarter of the day, that means half of the half that's left, the third quarter of the day, that's when we do Kriya Satera, and we do the Haftera, and Mikan Ve'elech. After that, meaning the last quarter of the day, then we use that time to be Mavakish Rachamim, and that's when the Za'akot take place. Shenemar, and this we find in Nehemiah, where, well, there's no such sefer as Nehemiah, really, according to us. It's a Goyish idea. But in Ezra Nehemiah. So it says over there, Vayakumu alomdam, Vayikru'u b'sefer Torah Tashem Elokehem revi'it hayom. So one-fourth of the day, they sat there reading from the Sefer Torah, and one-fourth of the day, mitvadim, umishtachavim, lashem elokeyem. The other quarter of the day, that was the time that was used for saying vidui and doing teshuvah and being mishtachav betvila. So that's the way we do it. But how do you know which quarter of the day, Abaye? I mean, you say that the first, meaning the third quarter of the day, was used for Kriya Satera and Haftarah and analyzing those psukim. And then the last quarter was used for Tefillah and Tshuva and Ishtachavoya. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe this whole thing is backwards. Maybe the quarters may be in the right issue, but you've got the quarters positioned at the wrong point of the day. Maybe when we get together in the morning, that's when we do the business about reading from the Torah, like we normally do. We daven, we read from the Torah. That's done in the first half of the day. And then the second half of the day, which is the normal time to have a town meeting, is to go through all of the accounts and to go through the tainas that people have on one another. Can you imagine what it would be like to actually have to air your grievances once and for all on a tainas and actually deal with them? This is like inconceivable, you know, instead of walking around for decades and trying to kill each other with Lashon Hara and God knows what, because it's like unbelievable talking about the reality of dealing with issues, to deal with issues. Jews dealt with issues publicly. They got together, town meetings. The Rabbonim actually did something. Oh, my God. This is like, it's almost inconceivable to us. Anyway, so maybe it should be.
When did it stop, Rabbi? When did it stop?
We'll talk about that when we talk about the halacha. We'll see. It's actually machlokas in where this applies and whether maybe it still applies in Eretz Yisrael. Because remember that these are dinim that are only done on Tainis Tzibur. And ain't Tainis Tzibur in Bavel or in the Golas, right? So then the question is whether Bizman Hazeh, does even Eretz Yisrael have a din of Golus? Because, see, this was a big machlokas. Is the issue of Ein, I allowed you to drag me in. I meant to talk about this later in the halacha. But, I mean, Lamaisa, there is a machlokas about what is the point. The Ramban understands that the issue is that since you don't have a Nosi, and since you don't have a Bezdin that is smuchim, is manazeh, so therefore Eretz Yisrael has a din of the gola. And there's no, even in Eretz Yisrael, but there's others who bring that the minig in Eretz Yisrael, and even the Mishnah Berurah talks about the possibility that halacha l'maisa, that you're mechuyev in Eretz Yisrael for the full Seder atayniyos that we have over here in terms of the minyas kishamim. So this is a big machlokas. It's not so partial that it should have stopped. And there definitely were stories of minhagim in Eretz Yisrael where people actually did this. But since the whole minhag is nogea, at least those issues that have to do with Eretz Yisrael, whether that's Hester Ponim of the Shechina, or whether that's Din in the Nasi, or whether it's Din in Bezdin Shel Smuchim, or whether, you know, Bepashtas, it's just a question of how much the rain is needed. But certainly in Chutz Laretz, it didn't apply. And as I mentioned many times, there are multiple layers of reasoning that go into these kind of halachas. And it may well be possible that it doesn't apply because it's not possible. That people are incapable of being drawn into this type of interaction. Because, I mean, even this story in Ezra Nehemiah, remember that the Ezra Nehemiah milieu was a period in which they were dealing with things. Like, that was the whole point, that they were actually dealing with things. So it was the way that Ezra went through, which must have been horrific. He had to go through the yichus of everybody to determine who were mamzerim and who weren't roy to stay behind and so on and so forth. And he didn't leave Bavel until he made it as it says, he had to make it absolutely clean of all of these chashashas. And I mean, this was a difficult time. And then they, again and again, we see that they got together when they came, and they openly discussed the Goyisha women that they've been sleeping with, and the whole issue about everybody having to accept the fact that he's going to get rid of his shiktsa. And I mean, these are things that are inconceivable in Chutz Laretz. And apparently they always were inconceivable. You know, I mean, today it's obvious. So it could be that there's a deeper layer in which the ability of people to really deal with things is taken into consideration, that maybe it's really not possible. You know, I told you that, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but it's like such an insight. I don't want to waste time from the daf, but it's a very deep way of recognizing this particular thing. There was an amazing doctor who actually used to be the pediatrician for my children. Back when we lived in the 60s, we lived in Toronto, and he was someone that the entire city, don't know how this had happened, but the entire city on Purim, all of the people used to stop into his home, and they would drink a l'chaim, and they would get together with people. It was an amazing thing. He was like a centerpiece of the community, he and his wife. They made Aliyah in the 60s, and because of the fact that they went through that transition, nobody knew them, and they had no public position. His wife became profoundly depressed, and for years it was a terrible thing. She was really depressed, and you can imagine the type of things that happen from that kind of deep depression. Anyway, so I once spoke to him about it. You know, like, how does he feel having come to Eretz Yisrael, having lost all of these things that he had? And he said to me, "You mean, how do I feel about coming into reality? Because, you know, there was no reason why I should be the pillar of a community, why people should be coming into my home. And, you know, and I came here, and in Eretz Yisrael, everything is real. You are what you are, and you have, it's like the rain. You get the rain when you deserve the rain. Why should I be someone that people come into? So I learned that we come here, and you get the truth." Amazing insight, amazing man. So, I mean, basically, this could be also part of the whole idea, in response to Alon's question, that it's only a din in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so why not start the other way around? Have a normal day of davening and so on, and then in the afternoon, do this. No, lo salka daitach, says Abaye. Of course not, because it says beferish in those psukim in Ezra, dichtiv ve'elai ye'asfu kol charei bedivrei Elohei Yisrael, Al Ma'al Hagolah. So this was the horror that he felt when he discovered that people had got started marrying the goyim in the area and so on. Everybody got together. All of those who care. This is where the word Charedi comes from, by the way. Kol Chared, people who were shaken by what was going on. Uchtiv ubimincha ta'erev kamti mita aniti. And then at mincha time, I got up from the tsar of my not eating, and I stood up, and Ephrasah Kapayel Hashem, and I spread my hands out towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that means that the first part of the day was the day that it was Ma'al HaGolah. That's where they were looking into the horrible things that had happened. And only in the second part of the day do we find that Ezra, Rashi says Nehemiah, but it's a little bit of a problem in the Pasuk, got up and said that now we're going to daven. Omer Rav Bar Papa, Omer of Chista. This din of not washing has to be defined. So where we have an iser of washing, which comes from because of the avelut, let's say Tisha B'Av, or the actual, if somebody's chas v'chalila, he just lost someone and he's sitting shiva, so he's a real avel on a personal avelus. Osir, bein b'chamin, bein b'tzonin. He's not allowed to wash himself, not in hot water and not even cold water. But on the dinim of the taniyot, which is to avoid pleasure, that's a different issue. It's mishum ta'anuk. So tzom has a different element. It's not because of avelut. It's because of the fact that we don't want you to be mit'aneg. Because you're supposed to be mit'ane. Mit'ane comes from the word inui. It doesn't only relate to eating. It relates to inuyim. Inuyim mean to avoid pleasures. So if it's a din in avoiding pleasure, such as the dinim of Ta'anit Tzibur that we had, which are not Mishum Avelot, here we have yet another halacha clear definition, it goes down to the difference even in what is the difference between avoiding pleasure and between experiencing mourning. So where you're experiencing mourning, Chas v'Shalom, so over there, all types of caring for yourself, even washing with cold water, is usher. But where the issue is to avoid pleasure, so then it's only the pleasure of warm washing yourself in hot water that's usher. But bitzonein mutar, you would be allowed to wash your body with cold water. Omer of Idi Barovin, yes. We can prove that from the Mishnah. Of course, it's clear from the Mishnah that cold water is mutter on these less ta'aniot tzibur, which are not mitam avelut, but mitam the inuyim. Because it says in the Mishnah, they lock up the bathhouses, right? Noalim et ha-merchatzaot. Now the merchatzaot, the idea of the merchatzaot is that they provide hot water. So apparently the only problem is hot water. Abaye says, right, sure. And let's say the issue is cold water, so what should it say? They lock up the bathhouses, and they put up dams on around all of the rivers. And I'm like, what did you expect them to say? How can you be, I mean, the most you could do is lock the bathhouses. How are you going to prevent people? What are you going to do? You're going to come around and cover all of the swimming pools and dam up all of the rivers and make sure that people don't get any cold water. That's crazy. So how can we medayik from that? What should it say? This was a very insulting response. And so because of that, Rav Shisha, Rav Idi's son, Rav Shisha, came to defend his father. Now listen here. It's not as stupid as it sounds. Abba hochi kokasha. What Abba was concerned about is that what is the point of mentioning Noalim et ha-merchatzaot? What does that mean? If Lamaisa, the Mishnah clearly said, Oser berachitza, and Oser berachitza b'pashtus would have meant all types, cold water, hot water, washing is Oser of any kind. So then why does it say Noalim et ha-merchatzaot lamali? I mean, that it does can't mean literally that we have to tell you how we see to it, that the tzibur is not there, whatever is necessary. But if it says Noalim et ha-merchatzaot, the whole point is to bring out that the only issue that we meant when we said rechitza was hot water, not cold water. That's the point. Elolav shmamina bechamina sur and bitzonein mutar. And certainly, I mean, it's not that the Mishnah is telling us literally to tell me what to do to have to lock it up. The point was that it's saying the only thing that we care about is the places where you're going to have hot water. That was what my father was explaining. Okay, so now let's see whether we could bring a raya to Rav Chisda that even cold water would be usher on Tisha B'Av because of Avelut and for an Avel because of Avelut. Zolema Misayeli. Kol chayavei tefilot tovlim kedarkan. Bein b'tisha B'Av, bein b'yom ha-kippurim. So anybody who has a chiyav of tefillah, and this is going with the shita of that the tefillah bizmana mitzvah, so if you have a chiyav of tefillah, so then you would go to the mikveh, because the reason of going to the mikveh was not l'tanuk, and it had nothing to do with yourself, it had to do with a chiyav. This is can be done even on Yom Kippur, and even on Tisha B'Av. This, by the way, is the way the Rambam paskens, because he understands the chayvei tefillot is where there is a chiyav of tefillah, and not necessarily tefillah bizmana mitzvah in terms of the diraisa. Tosis argues, and so do almost all of the other Rishonim, and they say that nowadays we don't have a tefillah bizmana mitzvah because we have all of these crazy chumras about Anita, so she never goes to the mikveh when she's allowed to go to the mikveh. She keeps shivas nekiyim and everything. Those are all minhagim that the women accepted on themselves. And the same thing is true. We don't have the din of takanas ez or anything like that, bizman hazeh. So where do you have a tefillah bizmana mitzvah, bizman hazeh? Why would we go on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av? Okay, so basically we're knowing not to. But anyway, getting back to the idea, so you're saying, if you have a chiyav of tefillah, so then you can go to the mikveh. What does it mean, a chiyav of tefillah? I mean, in what were you supposed to be going to the mikveh? I mean, does it mean that you were going to go to the mikveh in a hot water mikveh? Is there such a thing as tefillah in a hot water mikveh? I mean, in order to make the hot water mikveh, you would have to put it through a boiler, and then it would become a mayim she'uvim. So how could you have mayim she'uvim in a mikveh? Now, Tosfos says, you see from here, that the halacha, that hamshacha of mayim she'uvim is kosher for a mikveh, doesn't mean it's kosher for tefillah in a mikveh. The din of hamshacha is that if you let the water run along the ground and then fall into the mikveh as if it is rainwater, that's called hamshacha. So, and that, of course, is what's done when we heat the mikveh. But it doesn't mean that you're allowed to use hot water in order to be teva. It means that it doesn't passel the mikveh the way mayim she'uvim normally passel the mikveh. Masha enkein, there's actually some of the Peskim, including the Mordechai, who says, you see from here that you can't use warm water in a mikveh. Apparently as a gezerah, because people would think that the whole thing was mayim she'uvim, even adding the warm water. Okay, obviously, we don't paskin that, or all the mikvahs would have to close down, right? But the idea of getting water hot enough that you could add to a mikveh, that then you could have a kosher mikveh and so on, is not the normal way that they did things. So because of that, it doesn't mean that you can go to the hot mikveh. It means you're going to go into a cold mikveh. So if you go into a cold mikveh and we're only allowing people who have a chiyuv of tefillah to go into the cold mikveh, so then it means that people who don't have a chiyuv are not allowed to go even into a cold mikveh, which is exactly what Rav Chisda said. You cannot wash even in cold water. Om Rav Chana Bar Katina. I mean, let's just talk that out. El Ala Bitzonin. And nonetheless, it says only chayve tefillah, so not normal people. Ina Shachrin Olo, right? Om Rav Chana Bar Katina. Not necessarily. Maybe we're talking about somebody who lives in Tveria. You know, so he has Chamei Tveria. So you shouldn't go into Chamei Tveria. That's what it's saying. That's a perfectly kosher mikveh if it's the natural hot springs, so then it's a great mikveh. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. So if that's the case that we're talking about Chamei Tveria, so then explain this. Omar, Emesefa, Omrib Chanina Skana Kohanim. No, even that you shouldn't do. By the way, many paskin like this against the Rambam also. Reb Chanina's Kana Kohanim says, what, you can't forget about your mikveh one day of the year? You know, what chassidim do you belong to over here? One day of the year for the Beis HaMikdash, you can't give up on your mikveh. Kedayu Beis Elokeinu La Beit Alav Tefillah, you know, Yom Echad, big deal, Pamachat B'Shana, one time a year, so you'll give up on going to the mikveh for the covet of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what does Reb Chanina's Kana Kohanim mean? Because Iyamit Bitsonein Mutter, if you're going to tell me, what, you could still go to a cold mikveh, it's only talking about not going to Chamei Tveria, which is a real tainug. I mean, people pay money just for the joy of being able to sit in the hot springs. I understand that you can't do. But why is he saying, can't you forget about your mikveh one day? You're not forgetting about your mikveh, you're just going to go to a cold mikveh, right? So if we're talking about Chamei Tveria, what's Rabbi Chanina's Kanakoni? You can't do without Chamei Tveria one day a year. But that's not what he says. He says you can't do without a mikveh one day of the year. Why can't he go to a cold mikveh? No, says Rav Papa. I mean, maybe that means you're in a place where you only have Chamei Tveria. There's no access to stam cold water mikveh. I mean, who would make a cold water mikveh? Where are we going to make a mikveh where you have Chamei Tveria? So that, maybe that's all that he meant. But you can't bring 100% a raya from here. Okay, so let me bring a raya from here. How about this paisa against Rav Chisda, who says that you're not even allowed to use cold water? It says over here, Kisha amru asur bimlacha lo amru ala biyom, avalayla bimutter. As we saw before, you're allowed to do melacha at night. And when they said, you're not allowed to put on your shoes, and the other inuyim, so each one of these has to be looked at separately. Because if you can't wear shoes, what about if you're on the road? I mean, how are you supposed to walk on the road? So kisha amru asur bin ilata sandal, that they said when you're in town. But if you're going traveling, so then it's mutter. So what would you do? You put on your shoes immediately upon going on the road. So kisha yotzi l'derech noel, and as soon as you get to your destination and you're in a city, then you take off your shoes. And when they said you're not allowed to wash, they meant you're not allowed to wash lo amru ala kol gufo, you're not allowed to wash your entire body. But panav yadav v'raglav mutar. And the same thing is true about a menuda and an ovel. Now, explain to me what that means. Same thing is true about a menuda and an ovel. My, isn't that referring to all of the aboves, including the washing? It's not only talking about the ne'ilas ha'sandal or anything, right? It's talking about the whole thing that we just discussed. So that means what we're saying is that an ovel is allowed to wash his face, his hands, and his feet. Okay, what type of water are we talking about? Hot water or cold water? I mean, if you're saying that he's allowed to wash in hot water, is he? Mishoro, is an ovel allowed? If someone is in a state of avavelut, he can't even put his little finger into hot water. So clearly we're talking about bitsonin. And we're saying that really that means that we're talking about washing yourself with cold water. And when it was talking about the heter, Rav Chista said that if you're talking about the taniyot mishum ta'anug, you are allowed to use cold water. And here it's saying you're not allowed to use cold water. Because it says all of the cases, all that we're asering is the hot water. But there certainly is no problem with cold water. And Rav Chista said that the cold water, you can wash everything, your entire body you can wash. So in other words, it's true what Rav Chista said. It's true that you can't wash, the ovel can't wash. That part is real, but the rest of it doesn't make sense. That's how Rashi understands it. According to Tosis, we don't accept anything that he says, because what we're saying is that the ovel is allowed to wash in cold water. And Rav Chista, according to Tosfos, asked the ovel washing anything in cold water, even his face. Okay, fine. That's a question of what Rav Chista meant with the cold water issur on the ovel. Says the Gemara, Le'olam b'chamin, we can explain this as referring to hot water. And as far as your question, you had a problem. V'chein atamotze b'minudav b'ovel. And that isn't true, because you're not allowed to use hot water, as it says, even his little finger. When it said v'chenata motze, it wasn't referring to the part about washing. That was very unique. It was talking about malacha. It was talking about wearing shoes. But the part about washing has very special dinim, which are more chomer by the oval, and was not talking about that, and therefore it has nothing to do with Rav Chista. Okay, I'll bring you another raya. Toshma, the Omer Baba HaKohen, Mishum Reb Yossi HaKohen. There was once a maisa that Reb Yossi by Rabbi Chanina's children died, and he was rochets bitzonein kol shiva. Rashi's girsa is bitoch shiva, not kol shiva. And that he washed himself during shiva, and he used cold water. And Rav Chista said, you're not allowed to use cold water. No. Look at the case. That was a special case. It says his children died. So first he had one avelut, and then another child died, and he had another avelut. That's called tikafu avalav ave. Over there, where there's double the length of the time in which he wasn't allowed to wash, so there's special kulas. That was a special kula, the Tanya. There's a brisa in Dinam of Avelut that says, if chas v'chalila tekafu avalav zeh or zeh, a person becomes an ovel one time, and then immediately, before he has a chance to even take care of the things, he was going to cut his hair, and then he becomes an ovel again. He was going to wash his face, and then he becomes an ovel again. So tekafu avalav zeh or zeh, if he has such a growth of his hair, so then he's allowed to be mekel batar. He's allowed to use a razor to cut the hair, not a razor to give a razor cut, which is the normal, beautiful way of giving a haircut, but to just slice his hair. So it's a horrible way to cut the hair, but okay, at least he's going to be mekel basaro. And he's allowed to use just plain water without any soap to wash his clothes, so he shouldn't have to sit in smelly clothes. So in the same way that there's a kula for getting rid of the additional hair, so apparently there's a kula also for rechitza. So we're matir rechitza for him. And that would be the reason for this special case. But Rav Chista may be 100% right in terms of normal avelut. By the way, says Rav Chista, notice it's only bitar. He can only make a shinoi. He can use a razor blade. He can't get a regular haircut with scissors. And notice that when he's going to do the laundry, he's not allowed to use soap. He's only allowed to use plain water. But v'lo b'neter, v'lo b'chol. You can't use the materials that you would normally use for doing washing. Omar Rava, Rava says, I believe that an Ovel is allowed to even wash his entire body in cold water, even during Shiva, not like the way that Rav Chisda was learning. Because, look, is not an Ovel during the 7 days, isn't he allowed to eat meat? Isn't he allowed to drink wine? So, mita dehavi abisra v'chamra. Obviously, eating meat and drinking wine gives some level of tainug. So, cold water is about the same as eating. So, why not? Indeed, by the way, why not? I mean, indeed, why yes? It always strikes people as being very inconsistent that you bring these wine. Isn't wine a getter of simcha? Ain simcha ala babasar v'yayin, and we're giving simcha to the ovel. And what would be the reason for this? So someone once asked Reb Shlomo Zalman, and he came up with a whole explanation. Reb Shlomo Zalman didn't like his explanation. It is very simple, that the idea of simcha babasar v'yayin is a din in which a person goes from his normal state of being to an additional period of a feeling of simcha, and that comes from the special treat and the special effect of the wine. But when a person is in a state of profound depression, it does not give him simcha. What it does is as the Gemara says, it's only afuche tzare, it makes his pain bearable. And that's different. To make the pain bearable, that you are allowed to do. To be in a state of simcha, that's tainug. And tainug is usher. So Rava is saying that when you're going to tell me that washing his body in cold water is going to be bringing him simcha and tainug, it's just making him feel at least he's human. So therefore it would be mutter. Meisvei, so we asked on Rava from the fact that the Braisa seems to say, not like this, because the Braisa says, a woman who is a bogeret, so she's already at a stage, she's getting old, she's 12 and a half years old, she's supposed to be married already, right? So we're looking at her as being potential marriageable material. So she's not allowed during Avelut, she's not allowed to make herself in any way ugly, she's not going to be presentable to a potential suitor. People are going to be coming into the house to be looking at, talking to the Avelim, and they're going to see this girl that looks like a mess, and she's going to get this reputation of, this is not a girl you want to go out with. So because of that, once she's 12 and a half already, so then we don't allow her to be menavel es atzma. But a nara, who is so young, and she's only 12, she's a little too young to get married. She's a half a year away from being marriageable age. So people are not looking at her as a potential partner. So she, because she's a gedolah already, so she is mechuyevet in the dinim of avelut, and she would have to go through everything. So she is risha'ah, and Tosfos says even mechuyevet to do those things that are going to make her look unpresentable. Now, l'chora, that means that she can't wash herself, right? Is that what we mean? Lav brechitza? And what do you think it means? Dafka with hot water? Eina bogeret risha'a. So we're saying she's not allowed to, she has to use hot water to be presentable. Does this make sense to you? What, she can't wash with cold water and still look perfectly presentable? V'omer Rav Chisda, avel asur lahoshit etzba'o b'chamin. She's not even allowed to stick in her finger. If we're that machmir, let me tell you something. If we're so machmir that he can't stick in his little finger, believe me, we're not going to be able to use dafka hot water for the small difference that it's going to make on her presentability. That's ridiculous. So it must be that we're talking about elalav bitzonein, and therefore the bride is saying that only a girl who has to be presentable can wash her face with tzonein. Mashma, that a regular avela, or the nara, is not allowed to. And Rava is claiming that anybody is allowed to. So you see clearly that Rava is wrong, because basically this seems to be like Rav Chisda. Okay, whether this is a riot to Rav Chisda depends on the machlokas that we just mentioned, whether Rav Chisda was asring pun of Yadav Araglav, or he was talking about Kogufa. Says the Gemara, no, it's not even talking about Rechitza at all over here. You're making, it's talking about Kichalu Pirchus. These were things that we spoke about. Rechitza means washing your body. Kibbutz refers to doing your washing of your clothes. Pirkos refers to doing up your hair. That's what it's referring to. And kichel, the pashas is a discussion about kichel, but kichel pashas refers to putting on eyeshadow or facial kind of creams or whatever. Not creams, powders. So that is the only thing it's talking about. It was not talking about the rechitza, because maybe enochinami, Rava is right, and everybody is allowed to beautiful. Moshe Adel points out that vuhu nar, in the case over here of the nara, vuhu nar refers to doing up his hair. Very sweet. Lema misayeli. Okay, so see if we can actually bring a raya to Rava. The Omer Rabbah HaKoyim Mishum Rabbi Yossi HaKoyim. There was a maisa. This was the same thing that we had before, and we know how it's going to work out. So maisa omesu bonav Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, and he ended up washing betzonen kol shiva, and we explain it the same way we did when we were talking about Rav Chisda when we brought this. Amre, over here it can't be a raya to, just like it wasn't a kasha on Rav Chisda, over here it can't be a raya to Rava, because since it's talking about b'shetekafu, avalav zeachazeh. And the Braita said, like Rav Yossi, Tanya, Tikafu avalav ze acher ze. And therefore, why was Rabbi Yossi mekel? Like it says, Yichbit saro mekel batar, Mechabez ksuto b'mayim. And Rav Chisda pointed out over there, it's dafke batar, not b'misparayim. And it's dafke b'mayim, v'lo b'neter, v'lo b'cho, v'lo ba'al. So maybe this was a special kula that was given to Rabbi Yossi. It's not a riot to Rava. Anyway, this was one approach in Rava. Now there was another approach in which Rava said the opposite. And Rava said an Ovel is Osir Bitson in Kol Shiva, not that he was Matir. Now, Rava was talking about only his whole body. He was Matir Ponim Yoda Viragla. So now, in this version, we asked on Rava, instead of Rava using this as a justification, why is cold water different than giving an Ovel Bosir V'yayin, which he's allowed to? And we said, because the Bosir V'yayin is to take away his terror. He's in a state of pacha. There's a sense of deep anxiety about life in which person feels he doesn't belong anywhere. And that's called pacha. Lefachuche pachte hudavit. So over there, this is what I mentioned to you before with Shlomo Zalman. It doesn't give you a state of ta'anug. It simply takes away the sense of terror that you have internally. So the fachuche pachte hudi ovid. Lema misayeli. Ein habogeret risha'al in avel atzma. So here, in this version, we have the braisa not as a kasha, but as a raya. Ein habogeret risha'al in avel atzma. But a nara is allowed to, or b'chuyevitz to. And once again, we said, what are we talking about? Are we talking about washing with hot water? Ein habogeret risha'al. She has to use hot water. I thought Rav Chisda said she's not even allowed to put her little finger into hot water. So the difference between hot and cold water, we're going to be matir for her. That's going to make the difference? Ridiculous. It's got to be referring to tzonein, and therefore it's a raya to Rava, that a normal person is not allowed to use even tzonein. Exactly, right? No. We're not referring to washing at all. Just like we said before, we're talking about kichel upirchus, and therefore it's irrelevant to this discussion. Omer of Chisda, you could see from here that the ovel is osur b'tichboset kol shiva, that a normal ovel would be osur in washing his clothes for all of the 7 days. Fine. Okay, this ends up being we don't have time, but if you look at Reb Kiveger, you'll see that he uses this as a raya against Rashi's approach to understanding whether we're talking about washing the face, washing the body. Okay. The halacha is, an ovel is osir lirchotz kol gufo, bein b'chamin, bein b'tzonein. So he's not allowed to wash his entire body, even in cold water. But ponav yodav araglav, he is osir only b'chamin, but b'tzonein he would be mutter that he's allowed to. And the question about the tainis, on the tainis tzibur, that over there the halacha is, that he should be allowed to wash even his entire body with cold water. Masha Inken Tishubav, which is the greater chumrah, he can't even put his finger into water, even cold water, which is, of course, the way that we keep the halacha. other than for things that have nothing to do with Tainuk, like washing off the Ruach Ra and so on and so forth. Avalasuch, afilu koshu asr, is bichlal asr, to do any kind of sicha, unless it's aberet azuama, so maybe a deodorant he would be allowed to use. Anyway, so this is the dinim of the inui. Now, the question is, what about the tefillahs? So we started talking about the tefillah. We have the standard tefillah, which is the bracha of Anenu. Now we do an all taniyot. Where exactly is that bracha put? Tzolota de ta'anita eichim in karinan adar be Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak berei. So Rav Yehuda took a walk with his son Rav Yitzchak, and he was dorish to him that a yochid who is mekabel atainis, he says the bracha of Anenu, even though he's only a yochid. So machlokes rishonim, whether he should say biyom tzom ta'anitenu or biyom tzom ta'aniti. Because since a person's always supposed to be meshatif himself, imatzibur, so some say he should say ta'anitenu even though it's only his own personal taina. But anyway, where would he be mispalel? Hechan omra, ben goel rofe. He should say it the same way the shliach tzibur says it. He says it as a separate bracha between the bracha of Goel Yisrael and Rifa'enu. Whereas Rav Yitzchak did not agree. Matkiv la Rav Yitzchak, Abba, v'chi yachid koveya brocha la'atzma. Well, you're saying that we were koveya an additional brocha just for a yachid. Doesn't make sense that we should change the nusach hatfila just for a yachid and he should have an extra brocha. Ela amar Rav Yitzchak b'shomea tefila, v'chein amar Rav Sheshes b'shomea tefila. And that's how we paskin, as we spoke about earlier. The yachid says his brocha in Shomea Tefila and not as a separate brocha. Ask the Gemara against Rabbi Yitzchak Meisve. Ein ben yachid letzibor. There's no difference between a simple person and the rabbim when it comes to the tainis, except for one. Sheze mitpalel shmona esre, veze mitpalel chayesre. The difference is that a yochid only has 18 brachas, and a rabbi matzibur has 19 brachas. Now, Rashi points out that, what do you mean? We always have 19 brachas. We never have a shmona esrei. So Rashi points out that we call the shmona esrei the 18 brachas, even though it's 19, because of the fact that the original takana was 18 brachas, and that the later on, lamal shinim was added. So it retained its shame tefillah of Shmona Esrei Brachot. However, there is an amazing shita among the Rishonim, the Tosus Rit particularly, who says that you see from this Gemara that even after the Takon of Amal Shinim, there were only 18 brachas. And it's really Shmona Esrei. I mean, he's certainly not going to take the art scroll approach that you say Shmona Esrei on Shabbos, right? So when it says Shmona Esrei, it must mean Shmona Esrei brachas. So how could there be only 18 brachas? So he brings from the Yerushalmi that after the takon of Lamal Shinim, the bracha of the David HaMelech, of the restoration of Malchus David, Tzemach David, was incorporated with the bracha of Yerushalayim, which we also say, we mention, V'kisei David avdecha mera l'tocha tachin. So then according to Yerushalayim, we put the entire bracha within the bracha of Yerushalayim. So he says, you see from here, that the Bavli also accepts that, because it calls it Shmona Esrei and Tisha Esrei. We don't paskin like this, and we paskin that actually we don't go according to the Yerushalmi, and that there really are 19 brachas today. But can you imagine that even something so fundamental is also not so pasha? So now, the question is, when you talk about a yochid, you talk about a tzibur. What do we mean? Do you think that it means literally a yochid, meaning that he is the individual who's davening, and a tzibur means the shliach tzibur, but then it doesn't make sense? Because the Shliach Tzibur and the Tainis says 24 brachas, which we're going to be learning later. There's no Shmona Esrei. There's the Esrim Varba is the Tvila. Because we add all of those extra brachas for the Tainis. So how could it be talking about the Shliach Tzibur? So therefore, when it says the Tzibur, it can't be talking about the Shliach Tzibur. It must be saying like this. Ein ben yochid the kibbel of tainus yochid, the yochid she kibbel of tainus tzibur, meaning the individual who's davening with the tzibur. In one case, he's keeping his own personal fast. And in another case, he's keeping the fast that everybody else is keeping. So the difference is that the yochid zem is pal shmonas, right? If you have only a tainus that you were mekabel on yourself, you only have 18 brachas, because you don't add the anenu biyom tzam tzom ta'anitenu as a special bracha. You just end with the shomea tefillah, and therefore he only has 18. Masha Einkein, the yochid who is davening with a tzibur on a real tainus, has 19. And that's because he says anenu as a separate bracha, onebe etzara, and not shomea tefillah. Shuma amina. So, Rabbi Yitzchak, what do you see from here? That even a yachid can actually add an extra bracha, at least when he's being mispalel on a tainus tzibur. No, says Rabbi Yitzchak. Le'olam ein melacha shliach tzibur. You are worried about the fact that shliach tzibur has 24 brachas. We're talking about over here the first three taniyot where we don't have those brachas. The lekas are in the arba. And we don't have the full 24 brachas, except on the later ta'aniyot. That's what it's referring to.